Okay, Rabbi Sai, let us continue and finish up the parsha of Vayigash, and we'll go into Miketz. This is, we're at Vayigash, Mem Vav Ches, Chav Ches. Ves Yehuda, Sholach, Lefonov, El Yosef, Lehoros, Lefonov. Ves Yehuda, and Yehuda, we're talking about Yaakov, sent Yehuda, Sholach, Lefonov, he sent before him, El Yosef, Lehoros, to clean out, to make a place for a horo, for paskening halachas, for learning Torah. Lahoros lefanov, ketaguma, Rashi says, lefanos, to clean out. Lo mokum, the place to have no avodah zorah, no tumah, no erva, for to make a place of a Talmud Torah. Lahoros heich yis yashev bo, and to prepare a place where to settle. So, as Yehuda, Sholach lefanov el Yosef, he sent to Yosef. Yaakov sent Yehuda ahead of him to Yosef Lahoros to ask Yosef to clean out and prepare a place lefanov Goshna, to the town of Goshen. Yavo'u, when they came, Arad saw Goshen, to the land of Goshen. Yehuda had already prepared a place. Now, Goshen was in the Nile Delta, the very best part of Mitzrayim, where all the kings lived, where the pharaohs lived, where today Cairo is near there. And there was these ancient towns of On and Tanis and Noph, which they call today Memphis. And these are old Egyptian towns. They were all up north, northern Egypt, near the Nile Delta, where it's the most fertile place. Send them to Goshen. Vayavo u Arso Goshen. They came to the land of the section, the air land of Goshen. Now, you know, this place, Goshena, which is to Goshen, was a place that after many years, 189 years more, there's going to be a big nace, a big, the Geula is going to come, they're going to leave Mitzrayim in 189 years from Goshen. Yeah, they're going to go from Goshen to Sukkos. You know that a very big miracle happened in Goshen? You know that? You know a tremendous miracle happened in Goshen? In fact, the letters of Goshna is the same letters as Neis Gadol Haya Shom. Isn't that interesting? The same letters that's inscribed on a dreidel. A very big Neis happened in Purim times too. Neis Gadol Haya Shom. That's the same letters on the dreidel, and it spells out Goshna. And they also wanted the Amalekim, the Haman HaGogi, who were Amalekim, wanted to wipe out the Jewish people. And the Egyptians also wanted to wipe out the Jewish people, assimilate them. So a nace happened in Goshen, and also in Purim time, and also in Chanukah time. In Chanukah time, there was a tremendous nace by Matisyahu and the Maccabim and the Hashmonoim. You know that the gematria of nace Gadol Hoyoshom and Goshno and Chanukah Chesnun Chesneros and Mashiach is all 358. That's right. Neis Gadol Hoyoshom is 358. Mashiach is 358. Chanukah Chesnun, Chesneros, is 358. Goshna is 358. You know that? Just think about that a little bit. Well, yes, sir. Yosef is Markavto, and Yosef tied up, connected his chariot because he wanted to be Mechabed, his father. Therefore, he did the work himself. The Yaal, the cross he saw love him, and he went up towards Yisrael, his father. To him, it was like going Olas Regel, like going up to Yerushalayim. That's how he considered this. Vigoshna to Goshen, Vayero, Elov, and he appeared to him. Who appeared to who? Well, the simple Peshat is Yosef appeared to Yaakov. Vipal Tzavarov, and he fell on his neck. Vayevk, and he cried. Al Tzavarov Ode. Very much on his neck, he cried for his dear father that the boys had caused him so much sorrow and lied to him for 22 years, and he's so sorry that he couldn't contact his father, but he could not do it because Yosef had to see that the dream be Mekayim, that the father has to bow down to him, because that's what the Nevuah said. The father did bow down to him according to Targum Yonus and Ben Uzziel. He bowed down to him, and Yosef cried that the father had to bow down to him. Targum Yonus and Ben Uzziel says that he blames Yaakov for bowing down to him. It says in Targum Yonus and Ben Uzziel that Yaakov bowed down to him, and therefore he was Chayiv Misa Yaakov. At least some years were taken off of his life. Not like Rashi explains, a different parish. Some years were taken off of his life because he bowed down to his son. And it says in the Torah, Kabbalah Savicha, not Bincha, your son. And therefore, according to Targum Yonaseel, he was the years were taken off of his life. Yaakov, he shouldn't have bowed down to him. But Yaakov knew all this, and Yaakov knew that he had to be Mekayim the Nevuah. So maybe you could say not every Nevuah has some parts that is stutz, that is nonsense. Not everything in the dream is 100% true. Yaakov made his judge, he made his cheshbon, and he bowed down to him. And Yosef cried, according to the Mepharshim, that his father was Mevaz himself and bowed down to him. Now the Ramban says like this. The Ramban says no. He says, he brings the parish of Rashi, that Yosef fell on Yaakov's neck, and he Ramban says, no, I don't buy that. I don't go for that. I hold this the other way around, that Yaakov fell on Yosef's neck. Why? Yosef wouldn't dare fall on Yaakov's neck. It's not derech kavod. Ramban says he would have prostrated himself to him, or he would have kissed his hand, Ramban says. He wouldn't have fallen on the neck of a tzaddik. And rather, that Yaakov fell on Yosef's neck. Oh, the Ramban says that's a completely different thing. And then it says in Rashi that, according to Rashi, why didn't Yaakov fall on Yosef's neck? Because he was saying Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema, you got to say just at that second. You can't say it 5 minutes before, 5 minutes afterwards. No, because at that, what is it saying, Kriya Shema? The first pasuk, Kabbalah Ol Malchus Shemayim. You punish yourself the yoke of heaven. The greatest pleasure in life is to be the red. They reach that high madrega of Haftas Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavah b'chol nafshecha b'chol madecha. Even if God took your life at this moment, at the highest moment of Devekis Hakadosh Baruch Hu, you want to give at the moment of Yaakov meeting his son, the highest moment of pleasure, even that you give away to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. You show that you love Hakadosh Baruch Hu more than this. That's why at that moment he was saying Kriya Shema, and Kriya Shema is only one pasuk according to Rabbi Yehuda, only six words. Why didn't Yosef also say Kriya Shema? Answer is, Osek b'mitzvah, potter min ha-mitzvah. Yosef was Osek in the mitzvah of Kibbut Ahav. He was potter from any other mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Because Osek b'mitzvah, potter b'mitzvah. Yosef is not mechuyev to say Kriya Shema. But Yaakov is mechuyev because there's no din of a chabad your son. So he said Kriya Shema. And at that moment, he wanted to dedicate that great moment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so we have these different mepharshim, that Yaakov bowed down to Yosef, and Yosef cried on his neck because of that, and Targum Yonasan said he lost some years of his life because of that. Ramban says the other way around, and Yosef did not fall on Yaakov's neck. Yaakov fell on Yosef's neck, and because it wouldn't be covered for Yosef to fall on Yaakov's neck, and it's not covered to the big tzaddik like this to get so chummy with him. Yeah, he would kiss his hand, said the Ramban, or maybe prostrate himself. That's why it says, Vayeru a love, and the pasuk doesn't say who did to who. Going to Rashi, Yosef fell on Yaakov's neck. V'yifal savaro, v'yifal savaro, owed, and he cried very much. V'yomer Yisrael al Yosef, and Yisrael said to Yosef, Amusa poem, Amusa ha-po'am. I could die right now, you know. This is my highest point of life. I see that you're living. You're still a shomer Torah mitzvahs. You're a tzaddik. My life is accomplished. I could die now. I'll be satisfied. That's one parish. Number of parishes, Amuso HaPoam. I could die this one time because Hashem told me if any of your children die in your lifetime, you're going to go to Gehenna. That means you're going to die in this world and in the next world. Ooh, and Amuso HaPoam, thank goodness I only have to die one time now, says the Mepharshim. Ooh, one time, HaPoam, this time. I could die now, or I will die only one time. Because Rishoyim says, Tzaddikim only die in this world. Rishoyim die in this world and in the next world. That's interesting. Musa HaPoam. Let me see what Rashi says. That means, what pasuk is that? Lamed. Musa HaPoam. Kepshuto. Ketagumo. Medrish. Sovor. Hoyisi. Lomus. Shte misos. I thought I would die two misos. Bolam hazeh ulolam habo. Shinasalkim imen ishkino, because the ishkino went away from me. Yoyisi omer, then I said, Shetav ani HaKadosh Baruch Hu misosom, that God is called blaming me for your death, because I sent you to Shechem on a dangerous mission against 10 people that don't like you. Akshav she'od chokai, the fact that you're still living, lo omus ela pamachas, I'm only going to die one time, and I'm not going to go to Sheol, to Gehenim, and die in Golam Habatu. Oh, I'm only going to die one time because I sent you on this mission. Maybe it's my fault that I was gorim to your, which I thought was your miso. Achrei ra'osi es panecha, after I see your face, ke'odukol choy, that you're still living. And he never even mentioned the word that you're the king of Egypt. That doesn't mean anything to Yaakov. You're a king of a Goyish country. What does that mean? You're still Chai, and Tzaddikim are called Chayim, and Rishoyim are called Mesim, even though they're living in this world. Rishoyim are called Mesim. I see you're still a Shomer Torah and Mitzvahs. Yom Yosef Elochiv El Echov. Yosef said to his brothers, El Beis, of even to his father's house. I'm going to go up. Vagidu LaFaro, I'm going to tell Faro. Omro, I'm going to say a love to him. Achai Beis Ovi, my brothers in my father's house, Asher Be'eretz Canaan, Bo'u Eli, came to me. See what it says here in the Pasuk? Vagido LaFaro, Omro. I'm going to tell him and I'm going to say to him. What are you going to tell him? The first thing you're going to tell him is, Bo'u Eli, they came to me. Don't worry, I'll take care of them. All these 70 people. Omro, and I'm going to say, what am I going to say? Something else. Next Pasuk. Vanoshim Ro, it's shown that the people are shepherds. Because these are gentlemen herdsmen. They are shepherds of sheep. They don't really do the work themselves. They are gentlemen farmers. They have workmen that do this work for them. They don't actually try to do it themselves because Yosef, you know, was a king. He didn't want to show his brothers off as plain old shepherds. He said, no, they're anshei, gentlemen farmers. Gentlemen, herdsmen, anshimiknahoyu, but so number of korum, and their sheep and their cattle, b'chol asher lehem heviyum, everything that they have came. So I'm going to tell Pharaoh two things, agido and v'omro. I'm going to agido, tell them strong language. They came to me, don't worry about it, Pharaoh. I'll take care of all their family and all the 70 people. V'omro, I'm going to explain to them that they are herdsmen, they can live here. V'hoyu ki yikur lechem Pharaoh, and when Pharaoh calls you, and invites you to come in, but your Omar, he'll tell you, first question, Ma Ma Seichem, what do you do for a living? Ma Ma Seichem, what do you do? First thing he wants to know, are you going to be burdens on the state? Are you going to be leeches? Or are you going to be a producers of goods and merchandise? Are you going to be a taker or a giver? Ma Ma Seichem, what do you do? Vamartem, you should say, Anshe Mikna Hoya Avadecha, say you're gentlemen farmers. Because Yosef, you see, was in government already now for 9 years. And, you know, when you're in government, you have to build yourself up and talk a little bit higher class. So he told the brothers, listen, boys, tell them a little more, you know, Kovadik. Tell them you're gentlemen farmers. Anshe Miknad, people that own herds, Hoyu Avadecha, or were your servants. Midurena from our youth, at until now. Gamanachnu, also, we were like this. Gamavasen, our fathers were that. Vavur Teshu Be'eretz Goshen. Lord, that you live up in the Be'eretz Goshen. He doesn't want you around him. Live up in Be'eretz Goshen. Ki Toa Vaz Mitzrayim. It's disgusting to the Egyptians. Kol Ro'eid Son, anyone who shepherds sheep, because they worship the sheep. They didn't like people shepherding sheep. They want the sheep to run wild. Like in India, the cows run wild, so they worship them. Ki Toa Vaz Mitzrayim. It's disgusting to Egyptians. Kol Ro'eid Son, anyone who is a shepherd of sheep. That's one explanation. Shepherds are disgusting to the Egyptians, or just the opposite. They are highly esteemed. Look at the Zohar and Chumash. Why? Because Toavas is, that's their taiva, that's their lust, that's their avodah zarah, that's what they need, that's what they live for. Because they live for people who take care of their sheep, because they worship the sheep. Ki Toavas, that's the Tavo, that's the lust and desire of the Egyptians. That's their avodah zarah. That's their religion. Mem Zion. Now we're up here on Mem Zion. Pasuk Aleph. The Yovi Yosef, the Yagla Pharaoh, and Yosef came and told Pharaoh. The Yomer, he says, Ovi v'achai, my brother and my father, and my brothers, with Sonom and their sheep, v'kubakarim, and their cattle, v'chola shalem, and everything that they have. Bo'u mitz eretz Canaan came in. Bo'u came, may eretz Canaan, from the land of Canaan. Hinnom, the Eretz Goshen, they're now right here in Goshen. And from some of the brothers he took, five men out of the 10, out of the 11, and he set them up in front of Pharaoh. And now he said, you know, I mean, I want to introduce some of my brothers to Pharaoh. And I took five Anoshim, and he put them before Pharaoh. Says Rashi, Miksei Echov, some of his brothers. You know what Rashi says? Menapachusim, from the weak ones. Minapachusim Shabahim Legivuro, the least ones of them to as far as Gevurah is concerned, She'ein Neroyim Giborim, the ones that don't look like Giborim, Shem Yiro some Giborim, if you looked at them as big guys, big bruisers, Yaso some Anshe Milchamto, he'll make him the head of his army, generals and officers. The Elohim, and here are the people that looked so weak. Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yisachar, Ubinyamin. Oh my goodness, look what it says. Osam Shalokofal Moshe Shemosam Kishibarkam. At the end of the Torah, when Moshe blesses all 12 Shvatim, they certain some, most of them, he repeated their name twice. But the ones that he did not kofal, couple up their names, these are the weak ones. When Moshe blessed them, but the ones he didn't use their name twice in the same pasuk, then they were the weak ones. Now let's take a look at these weak ones. Let's just take a look. The name Shiloh Kofal, that was not doubled up. Let's see who's so weak. Reuven, Shimon and Levi, at 12 years old, they annihilated the town of Shechem. These are weaklings? Really? Wow. And Yisachar? Yisachar is weak, doesn't say about him. Chamor Gorim, a bony, strong donkey. And Binyamin? Binyamin is weak? Really? Doesn't it describe him as a Av Yitrof, a wolf that tears its prey apart? Shimon and Levi, Yisachar and Binyamin are weaklings? Really? I can't imagine that. It's very, very difficult. Rashi says, Avashemus HaGiborim, the names of the Giborim, Kofal, he doubled them up like Vizos Lehudo, Vayomar, Shema Hashem Kol Yehudo. He is the one that he doubled up. Legod Omar, Baruch Machiv God, he doubled them up. The Naftali Omar, Naftali, Ayola Shluchon, the Don, Omar Don, the Chain Lezavulun, the Chain Leosher, Ze Loshen Breshis Rabo Shehia, I got us Eretz Yisrael. Ava B'Gemara Bavli Shalonu, but in the Gemara Bavli that we learn, and Baba Kamet Tzadik Beis, Matzina Shosam Shekofal, the ones that he doubled their names, Moshe, Shemosam, Heim HaKaloshe, they're the weak ones. Vosun Hevi Lefnei Pharaoh, there's the ones he brought in front of Pharaoh. Who are the ones that he doubled up? Let's take a look. Yehuda? Gur Aryeh Yehuda is a weakling? Really? And God? God is a weakling? God, Gedu, Gedeno, that is a troop of soldiers. And Moshe said about God, he tore off Zeroo when he captures his enemy. He rips off the arms, Afkodko, rips off the head. This is the weak ones, God. And Don? Don, you know, is a nachash, like a serpent. Ali Derech, Shpifon, a deadly adder, a deadly snake that bites his enemy. These are the weak ones? Really? So which ones did Moshe put in front of Pharaoh? The ones that it was Kofal Shemam or Shiloh Kofal Shemam? In either group, these are Bahiman, God, and Avdon in the names that were Kofal, and Shimon and Levi, and Yisachar and Binyamin, or Shiloh Kofal. Really? These are the weak ones? Boy, so let me tell you the truth of the matter. It says in Rashi, Min apachusim, he took the weakest one, Shebohem, legiborim. They were the weakest as far as physical strength. She'en niroyim, giborim. They don't look very strong, which means they made themselves look very weak, bent over. They put on, I don't know what they look like, but they put on great clothes that made them look like schlumps, and they put on glasses, whatever they had in those days. And they bent over a little bit, probably put a little pillow in the back of there, and you know, they'll shove there and there and there in the back there, maybe a little belly in the front. Made them look like weaklings. These are all, every one of them, are supermen. They're giborim. They had to come into different gates when they entered Mitzrayim because of the fact they were so powerful and beautiful and handsome and tremendously capable. Listen, two of the 12 wiped out a whole town of Shechem, Shimon and Levi. These are weaklings? So Rashi says, the God of the Mepharshim, they deceived their Pharaoh by looking like Nebuchs, like weaklings, like Nebuch, you know what I mean? But we're not talking, they're not one of them is weak. They're all powerful men. So he took Mikseh, Pasuk Beit to Mikseh Echov, and some of his brothers. He took five men. We have seen him lifnei Pharaoh, and they stood him up for Pharaoh. Vehem Pharaoh le Echov. Pharaoh said to the Echov, first words, Mama Seichem, what do you do for a living? Vehem Rael Pharaoh. They said to Pharaoh, not like Yosef said, Anshei Mikneh, gentlemen farmers. No, they're not in the government. They don't have to flower their conversation with flowery words. They can talk straight. They said, we're just roe's own shepherds. Avodecha, your servants. Gamanachnu, so are we. Gamavosanu, so was our foreparents, our ancestors, Vayomer El Pharaoh. And they said to Pharaoh, Lagur, Ba'ariz, we only came to be here a while, just a few years, so the hunger's over, then we're going back. They didn't know they're going to stay there another 189 years. You know how you get to 189 years, because when Yaakov sent Yosef from Shechem, Hebron up to Shechem, that was the beginning of the 210 years, right? Because Emek is 210. Emek Hebron means the valley of Hebron. Ah, Hebron's on a hill. Emek is a code word. It's the valley of Hebron, which means Emek is 210, which really means the Eitzo Amuko, the deep advice of that tzaddik who's buried in Hebron. That's Avram Avinu. Because Hashem told Avram Avinu, Ger Yir Zarecha Be'er Shelo Lahem, your children will be a stranger in the land that doesn't belong to them. And that was Mitzrayim. And let's start off there, the process, said Yaakov to Yosef. Yosef knew that he's going alone into an environment of 10 or 11 brothers that hate him, and he didn't care. He says, Hineni, I'm ready to start off the process of the 210 years. So then he went up to Mitzrayim, 12 years in jail, 10 and 2, then 7 years of, he was a king then, then he became a pharaoh, assistant pharaoh for 7 years, for the good years and two of the bad, so that's 9. 12 and 9 is 22 years. 22 years, and so 22 years off of 210 is 189 left. That's right, 189 years to go. We only came here for a little few years, but they stayed there for 189 years. Lagur Bars Banuki Ain Mira, there's no pasture land that's sown for our sheep. Asher Avdecha that belongs to your servants. He covered her rob Eretz Canaan, because the raw of the hunger is very strong in Canaan. But now Yeshua, no, please come you sit dwell Avdecha your servants, Beres Goshen and Goshen. Yomar Pharaoh El Yosef, Lamor. Yeah, Pharaoh said to Yosef very clearly, listen, Yosef. Your father and your brothers came to you. You handle this. I don't want to know anything about it. Eretz Mitzrayim lefanechohi. Eretz Mitzrayim is before you. The Meitav Horas Hoshev Avzavichon. In the best part of the country, you can settle your father. That's a chechon, your brothers. Yeshu Be'er Goshen. Let him live up in Eretz Goshen. Im v'im yodate yuviyesh bom anshi chayom. And if you know that any of them are really, you know what I mean, anshe chayol, capable men, powerful guys, the samtam asore mikne ala shali, place them over the cattle that I have. You know, I have a private herd. I don't want the Egyptians to know about it, because I, you know what I mean, he doesn't worship the sheep and the cattle so much. He was Pharaoh, he wanted to make his own money, you know. I have a private herd. You want to have some of these people that can take care of my thing? The samtam asore mikne ala shali, they can be cattle watchers, farmers, they'll take care of my cattle, my private herd. But Yovi Yosef as Yaakov, and then Yosef brought Yaakov, Yoviv, his father, Yamidei, lifnei Pharaoh, and he stood him up before Pharaoh. Old man, 130 years old. But Yivarech Yaakov as Pharaoh, and he blessed Pharaoh. He just came in and he said, hello, how are you doing? Shalom Aleichem, sir, how are you doing? But Yivarech Yaakov, he she'ilas shalom. That is, how do you do, sir? Whatever language they spoke in Egyptian. Before, like anybody who goes to a very important person, you say, how do you do? Good morning, good evening, nice to meet you. That means in Yiddish, griesen. That means you greet a person. That doesn't mean you bless them. Then he asked them the famous question. Yomri Farel Yaakov. Kamo Yimei Shnei Chayecho. How many are the days of the years of your life? Why doesn't he ask them just Kamo Yimei why did he just ask them Kamo Shnei Chayecho? Why did he ask them how many are the days of the years? Why doesn't he just tell me how old are you? And he's in night. Why did he ask a question like that, first of all? Isn't that insulting to ask the old man how old you are? It says in the Mefarshim Medrash that he thought he was looking at Avram Avinu. That's how old Yaakov looked. Old Yaakov was only 130. And Yaakov and the Yitzchak and Yaakov and he's only 130. And Avraham had already died 136 years before. You can figure that out because you know Avram was born in 1948 after creation. And he died 175 years later, right? And we know that Yetzias Mitzrayim was in 2448. And this was 189 years before that. If you have the two dates, you can subtract it. And you get there was 136 years ago that Avraham died. Now, Avraham lived 175. Nope, 136 and 175, that's 300 years or something. And then Yaakov is 133, 430 years. I mean, he thought he was looking at a man at 400 years old. That's how old and not an ancient Yaakov looked. How old are you anyhow, Mr. Sir? Kamu yimei shnei chayecho. V'yom Yaakov ha'faro, Yaakov said to faro yimei, the days, shnei mugurai, the years of my wandering, shloshim u'ma'ashon, I've been wandering on this planet for 130 years. Ma'at, they were very few, v'royim, and very bad, hoyu yimei shnei chayei, were the days of my life. The good days were very few. Lo yisigu, they didn't reach, as you may shnei chaya avosai, could the good days of the lives of my father be made megureim when they wandered this planet. I had only a few good years. But Yivorach Yaakov is Pharaoh, and when he left, he blessed him. He said, Zay gezunt nishtark, you know, tehi bari. But basically he said to him, the Nile shall come up, when you go outside, the Nile shall come up to your feet. So he knows now that Pharaoh, that is not because the Nile is a god, and he comes up to Pharaoh's feet because it's a god. No, it didn't come up for 2 years. It was a hunger. It only came out the next day because Yaakov gave him a bracha, and the hunger was over, and the Nile started to flow up again. And he knew Yaakov, Pharaoh knew that Yaakov was a very holy man because the water came up to his feet the next day, which it hadn't done for 2 years because of the bracha of Yaakov. So he said, you know, I had a miserable few years of good life in my life, very few good years. The boy said, let's just think about that. A few good years out of 130? I would say 85% were good. I mean, look at this. 63 years, he was fine. Then when he ran away from his brother because he tricked him with the birthright, he went to Yeshiva of Shem Ve'Aver. That means 63 and 14, he was there 14 years. 63 and 14 is 77. 77 years, he had a good life, learning Torah, no wife, no children, no aggravation, nothing. 77 years. Okay, then he went to his miserable uncle, Lavan, who was a thief, a cheat, and a crook, and a gangster, and a Russia, who became eventually his Mechutan, his father-in-law, and the grandfather of all Klal Yisrael. He stayed there 20 years. Okay, but then he came back. Age of 99 till 109, 10 years. That was good years. So 63 years in the beginning and 14 years in the yeshiva, 77 and 10 years at the end, 87 and 17 good years in Mitzrayim, 97, 107, 104 years. 104 years out of 130. That must be 80%. That's very good. So why did you say my good years were very few? Quite interesting, isn't it? Maybe we can learn it like this. What means good years? Good years means what? When you're left alone and no challenges? And learning Torah, and you're 17 years in Mitzrayim, nothing to challenge you, and 10 years at home after Lavan, nothing challenges you, and 14 years in Yeshiva, sitting in 14 years in Yeshiva, and never being challenged, that's good years. Maybe good years are the years that you have been challenged and you stood up to the test. He had a few good years, he said, the 20 years of Lavan and the 2 years coming home on the road when Dina got involved and all these terrible things. And then maybe you can say 22 years he suffered for Yosef. So there were, let's say the good years was the 20 years in Lavan's house when he was challenged to be a good Jew. A good person, 20 years, and 2 years on the road is 22, and 22 years suffering for Yosef, if he still would have his Amunah, that's 44 years. That was the good years. That was good when you're being challenged and you pass the test. Maybe that's what he means, how only a few good years But my parents, they were challenged all the time. Maybe you can learn it like that. All right. Vayivarech Yaakov his Pharaoh, and he blessed Pharaoh. Vayetz milefanei Pharaoh, and he went out in front of Pharaoh. Let me tell you one thing, Rabbi Yisrael, something unbelievable. I want to tell you a chiddush gadol here. My father brings it down in the Mayon Beis HaShoeva. Ooh, what a beautiful thing. It says there in the beginning, Vayigash Elav Yehudah, and he came eyeball to eyeball, and he looked at him in his face, and he says, Ki Kamocha V'Pharaoh, you're like Pharaoh. You know, I honor you like Pharaoh, but the truth of the matter is, I consider you a liar just like your father, your boss. There's a couple Pharaohs back, my grandmother, Sarah, great-grandmother Sarah, waiting one night, and he got punished. And Medrash says, you're going to get punished just like him. You made us come back here two or three times, and you're aggravating us, and you're making us trumped-up charges. You know I can take care of you and Pharaoh and the whole country. The whole country to me, the whole city of Mitzrayim is nothing but a Iyigol, Ayin, Yud, Reish, Hey, which means female ending. It's just a weakling. We can bump off this whole city, my brothers and I, in no time. When one of my two little brothers, when they were 12 years old, Shimon Alevi, wiped out the whole Shechem, all 10, 11 of us can take care of the whole metropolis of Egypt, of Mitzrayim. It's no problem. So, which means I consider you a very, I don't know, you're a pushover as far as I'm concerned. Where did Yehuda, says Mayim Beis HaShoeva, get all this nerve and this gumption and this azuz and this power and this chizuk? Didn't he say in the last pasuk of the last sedrim, Mo nemane daber man nomer man nasa, what can we say, what can we do? We've been caught, Hashem motzolik es oven avadecho, God has found the sin of your servants. We didn't steal the gevirah, we didn't steal the goblet, you planted it in that thing, but God has punished us for some crime we all know about, we did 22 years ago, selling our brother. We are really, God has caught us. Man, David, what could we say? Man, Stadok, what can we, how can we vindicate ourselves? How can we, never, I'll be your servant. All of a sudden, you change your whole personality and you go eyeball to eyeball and you say, I'm ready to take you on in the whole Egyptian army. Where did he get this change of character? Says the Mayan Beis HaShoeva, he learned it from his Rebbe. His Rebbe told him, Rab Bloch and tells. He told him, once the Jews accept Achrayos, didn't Yehuda say to his father, if I don't bring him back, Binyamin, alive, standing up in front of you, I'll set him up before you, I'll have sinned before you all the day, all the years in this world and in the next world. I have Achrayos now. Once a person accepts Achrayos, miracles happen. What's the miracle? The king of Egypt sends out all his bodyguards and starts crying. The people thought he has lost out of his kelim. He lost his mind. He belongs in the insane asylum. The king of Egypt doesn't have any personal guards. When these 11 tough men are challenging you and you sent out all your personal guards and you start crying, a king of Egypt, they probably think the man went out of his kelim. He's out of his mind. Maybe they thought it was a trick. And nace happened. He says, Ani Yosef. And the whole drama is over. Now all the riddles are solved. Now they know why he knows how to sit them at the banquet according to their age when they had that banquet. All the answers are answered. Just like one day when you meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's going to say to you, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. What did you do with my aseres adibros? Did you keep them? All the dinim of the Torah and all the mitzvahs? What are you going to do when Hashem says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha? When Yosef said to his brothers, Ani Yosef, they were in ultra shock. They were afraid to move. They couldn't believe it because they just said, Yehuda, in a speech 2 minutes before, that Yosef had died, the Achiv Meis. And here Yosef says, Ani Yosef, which means you're a bunch of liars. Shakronim you are. And you're Achzorim, you tortured my father these 22 years. That's why they're Nivhalu Miponim. They were in ultra shock before him. They couldn't say a word. They were in ultra shock. That man caught them red-handed. Shakronim and Achazorim. Oilo Sobusha, woe to such a busha that you're caught lying and right in front of your face. That's why I send all the Egyptian guards out. You shouldn't mavayish his brothers in public. Aye. And they went back. to Yosef, and it said, Od Yosef Chai, Vahu HaMoshel, Chol Eretz Mitzrayim. He, the Yosef, is living and he's still a from Jew. You know why? Hu Moshel Bechol Mitzrayim. He's still Moshel over his Yetzer Hara. He controls the whole Egyptian government, keep them away from immorality. Hu Moshel, he is the Moshel. He has controlled himself. We can see that he's a Tzadik Tomim, Tzadik Yesod Olam, the foundation of the world. He's not Moshel only on Egypt, he's Moshel over his Yetzer Hara. He's Moshel al Yitzro. He is controlling the whole country not to go to ruin with immorality. And who Moshel, he is the Moshel over his own base Taivas. He lives the high Madrega life. This is the word from the Slonim Rebbe, by the way. Who Moshel b'chol ha-shalo. He is the man that remained pure and Toradik, there was no Torah yet, but he remained a total committed Jew, and a total committed Ivri. He's a Moshe, he controls every Yetzer Hara that he has. Ooh, when Yaakov heard that, then he knew that, he knew they were telling the truth. And of course, he saw the wagons that Pharaoh sent Yosef, unhooked the horses, and put on Agolos. Don't read Targum Yonis, it says, don't read it Agolos, read it Eglos, calves. Because when Yaakov and Yosef were departing, only two people in the world knew what they were learning at that moment when he sent them from Shechem. Yaakov and Yosef knew, and they were learning about Egla Rufa, about Agolim. So that's why Yosef hooked on to the wagons, calves, and not Pharaoh's horses. And that's how the Yaakov knew the brothers weren't lying again to him. Because once a liar, always a liar. But he saw the Agolos, and Yaakov Yonis says, read it, Eglos. Then he knew that Yaakov, that Yosef was telling the truth, that the brothers were telling the truth. But he, Ruach Yaakov, he got Shechina back, and Ruach HaKodesh, and Nevuah, everything after he didn't have, that he didn't have for 22 years. So he knew that this time the brothers were telling the truth. Rabbi said we came to the little end of the shir together, and we hope you enjoyed it, and we'll have, next time we'll be together again, and have Shavua Tov.